From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Delighted that you've joined us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. Our speaker is the Reverend Armin Tomassian, Senior Minister of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Currently, Pastor Tomassian is bringing a series of studies in Paul's first epistle to the Thessalonians. Before today's message, we invite your attention to this brief devotional thought taken from C.H. Spurgeon's collection called Morning by Morning.
This morning's text comes from Ecclesiastes chapter 10 and verse 7. I have seen servants upon horses, and princes walking as servants upon the earth. Upstarts frequently usurp the highest places, while the truly great pine in obscurity. This is a riddle in providence whose solution will one day gladden the hearts of the upright. But it is so common a fact that none of us should murmur if it should fall to our own lot. When our Lord was upon earth, although He is the Prince of the kings of the earth, yet He walked the footpath of weariness and service as the servant of servants. What wonder is it if His followers, who are princes of the blood, should also be looked down upon as inferior and contemptible persons? The world is upside down, and therefore the first are last, and the last first. See how the servile sons of Satan lord it in the earth. What a high horse they ride! How they lift up their horn on high! Haman is in the court, while Mordecai sits in the gate. David wanders on the mountains, while Saul reigns in state. Elijah is complaining in the cave, while Jezebel is boasting in the palace. Yet who would wish to take the places of the proud rebels, and who, on the other hand, might not envy the despised saints? When the wheel turns, those who are lowest rise, and the highest sink. Patience, then, believer. Eternity will right the wrongs of time. Let us not fall into the error of letting our passions and carnal appetites ride in triumph while our nobler powers walk in the dust. Grace must reign as a prince, and make the members of the body instruments of righteousness. The Holy Spirit loves order, and He therefore sets our powers and faculties in due rank and place, giving the highest room to those spiritual faculties which link us with the great King. Let us not disturb the divine arrangement, but ask for grace that we may keep under our body and bring it into subjection. We were not new created to allow our passions to rule over us, but that we, as kings, may reign in Christ Jesus over the triple kingdom of our spirit, soul, and body, to the glory of God the Father.
Is his path on the wings of the storm.
If your Bible reading is usually in the Authorized or King James Version, you have probably encountered words that are quite unfamiliar. Because the Authorized Version was translated in the 17th century, some of its words are no longer in use or perhaps have a different meaning now. Let the Bible Speak is pleased to offer a booklet containing many of those archaic terms and their meaning in modern-day speech. In addition, the booklet contains a Bible reading plan that will help you to read the whole Bible through in 2 years, as well as the Psalms and the New Testament twice. To obtain your copy of A Bible Word List free of charge, simply email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you wish, you may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. If you prefer regular mail, simply write Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just ask for your copy of A Bible Word List, and we'll be happy to provide it. As Pastor Tamassian continues this series from 1 Thessalonians, he brings the opening portion of a second message on the subject, Pastoral Prayer for an Infant Church. The text is verses 10 through 13 of chapter 3. Although absent from them, Paul's heart was greatly burdened for the new believers in Thessalonica. When Timothy returned with the report that the fledgling Christians were going on with God, Paul was overjoyed. In the final verses of the chapter, he utters a prayer for their continued progress in mutual love and personal holiness. He wanted to perfect their faith, not in its basic essence, but in its knowledge of all that they now possessed in Christ. Now to continue this message, here is the Reverend Armin Tamassian.
To refresh your minds, and for the benefit of hearing the Word of God, we're going to commence at verse 1, 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 1, and read through all of the short chapter before we consider the last few verses together. The Apostle Paul, under inspiration, writes these words: "Wherefore, when we could no longer forbear, we thought it good to be left at Athens alone, and sent Timotheus, our brother and minister of God, and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, to establish you and to comfort you concerning your faith. That no man should be moved by these afflictions, for yourselves know that we are appointed thereunto. For verily, when we were with you, we told you before that we should suffer tribulation, even as it came to pass, and ye know. For this cause, when I could no longer forbear, I sent to know your faith, lest by some means a tempter have tempted you, and our labor be in vain. But now, when Timotheus came from you unto us, and brought us good tidings of your faith and charity, and that ye have good remembrance of us always, desiring greatly to see us, as we also to see you. Therefore, brethren, we were comforted over you in all our affliction and distress by your faith. For now we live, if ye stand fast in the Lord. For what thanks can we render to God again for you, For all the joy wherewith we joy for your sakes before our God, night and day praying exceedingly, that we might see your face, and might perfect that which is lacking in your faith. Now God himself, and our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ, direct our way unto you. And the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another, and toward all men, even as we do toward you, to the end he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. For those that are not aware, we have been studying this epistle since the beginning of the year. And like all the Word of God, it is highly instructive. We don't want to forget the context of this epistle, as the Apostle Paul takes up his pen, as it were, to write to a very infant church, a young church, a new church that had not known the Lord Jesus for very long, and they had very much to learn. And yet, in spite of their immaturity, if we can put it that way, this congregation is manifesting tremendous strength in the Lord. It has not been easy for them. They have found it very difficult. They have not been received by their community. Rather, they have been rejected. They have been cast off. They have been tremendously afflicted. And you see that in chapter 1, verse 6, ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction. Much affliction, and yet they did it with joy of the Holy Ghost. And so this congregation, though it is very young and has been birthed in affliction, the report coming back from Timothy, Paul was concerned about how they were getting on and sends Timothy to see how they're getting on. And the report that comes back, as we see from verse 6 of chapter 3, Timothy comes back and brings good tidings. And the word there is really a word that almost is exclusively referred to in terms of the gospel. But he uses it here, that the good news that's coming from Timothy, the report that he brings back, is as good to his soul as the gospel itself. That when the gospel comes and thrills the heart, as a soul that realizes that he is dead in trespasses and sins, and he's on his way to hell, and yet he discovers that God has made a way to be reconciled to God in spite of sin, that news that thrills the soul, this news of this church and its progress has come similarly to the Apostle Paul. He is rejoicing. And so you can see that joy manifest itself there in verse 9. What thanks can we render to God again for you for all the joy wherewith we joy for your sakes before our God? In this chapter, we have broken it up in three main sections. In verses 1 through 4, just to remind you, we see the pastoral care for a persecuted church. In verses 5 through 8, we have considered pastoral joy for a faithful church. And in verses 9 through 13, we are seeing pastoral praying for an infant church. And last time, as I endeavored to finish up the chapter, I was unable to do so because there was so much in verses 9 and 10 that I wanted to bring out. We saw already the warmth in his praying in verse 9, as you see that. What thanks can we render to God again for you with all, for all the joy wherewith we joy for your sakes before our God? There's a warmth here, a sense of connection with the people. There's also worship in his praying as he's rejoicing in the Lord. You can see him expressing that joy primarily to God. And the work in his praying in verse 10, where he says, night and day praying exceedingly that we might see your face. So he labors in prayer. It's not just a passing prayer that's offered up every so often, but he is laboring in prayer as somewhat a pastor of this people, and he is upholding them, desiring God to be merciful to them. Well, we'll consider more of this prayer today as it continues in verse 10 and following to the end of the chapter. And what we're seeing here is the wish in his praying. That would be a point under the pastoral praying for this infant church, the wish in his praying. We have just sub-points here that will help us navigate through the rest of these verses. And you may be wondering, as I say, the wish in his praying, as he continues to pray for this infant church, well, why is he using the word wish? It's not really a word that we often associate or use as Christian terminology, but a number of the commentators point out that Paul's prayer here is in the form of a wish. the grammar of the verbs is in the optative mood. And I don't know if you know much about that. I don't really know much. I read enough of men who do know. But the optative mood, at the very least, is that mood that indicates a wish or desire. Sometimes it has certain construction that shows it's hypothetical. But in this case, it's more of a desire, a longing for the people. And so that's why often the commentators will refer to this portion, this prayer, as really a wish from the Apostle Paul for them. And so while we don't often use the word wish, we do understand that it has a certain application even in the believer's life. We even sing about it in the hymn, Sweet Hour of Prayer, that calls me from a world of care and bids me at my Father's throne make all my wants and wishes known. And Paul's going to use the same kind of mood in chapter 5, verse 23, when he says, "The very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." The same mood is there. The verbs are indicating that it's a wish. It's not something he's absolutely certain about. It's not something that he can affirm will definitely take place, but it is the desire of his heart. And this is common in the benedictions. When you read through the benedictions of Scripture, often I will pronounce a benediction, and the one that's coming to mind just now is one of my favorites in Jude, where it says, "Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling, and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen." There you have a benediction, a desire that he is pronouncing upon the people. And the language, and you can see this very often, the language of kind of a wish will be structured in such a way that it's a prayer, but it's also being directed toward the people. And so when you read it, it sounds like he's talking to the people, but what he's saying is really being referred to God. And so he's saying, "Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling." He's addressing the people, but he's really praying for them, that God would keep them from falling and present them faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. You see that also in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, 23 that we just read, "The very God of peace sanctify you wholly." He's talking to them, but he is praying that God would keep their whole soul and body and spirit preserved blameless. And so that's the kind of construction we have here at the end of chapter 3. You have a man that is burdened for the people, praying for them, but it is a prayer that's constructed in such a way that reflects more of a wish than a certainty. Now, as we look at these verses, there are a number of things that we can see that he wishes for. First, he wished for the overthrow of Satan's conquest. Second, we're going to see that he wished for greater manifestation of the second commandment. And then third, we'll see he wished for their holiness at the second coming. First of all then, he wished for the overthrow of Satan's conquest. Look at verse 10. We've considered the first part of that already in our last message, the work of his prayer, night and day, praying exceedingly. But then he goes on and says that we might see your face. This is what he's praying for, that we might see your face and might perfect that which is lacking in your faith. Now God himself and our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ direct our way unto you. So why is Paul praying so fervently? Well, in large part, it is with this desire to be present with them in order to help perfect them. Now, if you look at the language that he uses here, you see he wants to see their face. So you can say, well, he wants to be where they are, but he doesn't just want to be there because they're his friends or people that he likes. It is with a purpose. The pastor is not, the missionary is not in a place just because he likes the place or he likes the people. If someone's called to the mission field and they want to go there just because, well, I like the country, or I like the scenery, or I like the people, but he doesn't really have a burden for the real cause of him being there, then he's not going to do his work that God has called him to do. Paul wants to be there. He wants to see their face and might perfect that which is lacking in their faith. He wants to help them. He wants to be there in order to serve them. And essentially, we say this is the overthrow of Satan's conquest because this is a prayer against Satan's activity. If you go back to chapter 2, verse 18, you will see that he has made mention of his desire to return to them. Wherefore, we would have come unto you, even I, Paul, once and again, but Satan hindered us. And so several times Paul made an attempt to return to this church. He had removed himself from it because of affliction, because of persecution, but he wanted to get back. And he had been hindered by Satan. Now, we've looked at that already. We can't say definitively what Satan was doing. But whenever he prays here, and this is what I want you to note, whenever he prays in verse 10, and he reflects what he desires, night and day praying exceedingly, that we might see your face and might perfect that which is lacking in your faith. He's praying against Satan. Satan has been working to prevent Paul from being there, and Paul prays that God would give him the opportunity that he seeks for. What I want you to notice about that, however, is that he doesn't talk to Satan. Sometimes when you listen to the charismatic preachers and the TV preachers, they will talk, you will find them actually addressing Satan. So Satan is doing something that they don't like, or something Satan is manifesting resistance to them, then they will, you know, we bind you, Satan, or they will talk to Satan in some way. But Paul never does that. You'll not find the Apostle Paul doing that. You find the Apostle Paul submitting himself to God. What is the point in talking to Satan? Unless you recognize or try to assume a sense of sovereignty over Satan. We do not have sovereignty over Satan. Christ has. And so that is why the apostle is praying to God, night and day praying exceedingly that we might see your face and might perfect that which is lacking in your faith. We're praying to God that God in his mercy would overthrow Satan and give us the desire of his heart. So what's the couple of things here as he prays for this overthrow of Satan? First we see his reason, and then we'll see his submission. His reason is at the end of verse 10. That we might perfect that which is lacking in your faith. That's why he wants to be there, as we've said already. Now, we need to understand exactly what Paul is saying here. Perfect that which is lacking in your faith. Was there something wanting in their justification? Was there a sense that they were partly saved but not completely saved? Well, we know that's not the case. You go back to chapter 1, verse 4. He says, knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God. There's this certainty of where they stand before God, that they had experienced divine election and divine love. Knowing, brethren, beloved, or beloved of God, you have received the love of God, and you know the electing love of God. This is something that has transformed you, so that it can be said in verse 9 that they had turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God. There had been a transformation in their lives. So these are a justified people. Those that are in the church professing faith in Christ, they are people that belong to the Lord. So what way is their faith lacking? Well, it's not about the strength of their faith, but more about the knowledge of the faith. What it is they believe of the faith. And that's why Paul wants to be there. If it was about the strength of their faith, if you look at the text, to perfect that which is lacking in your faith. If it was about the fact that they were lacking faith itself, or there was a measure of faith that was wanting, then Paul could just exhort them to ask God to fill their minds and fill their hearts with more faith. But he sees his instrumentality in this, that it's not so much about the measure of their faith in terms of how much faith do they have, but the faith that they've already trusted themselves to, the faith of the gospel, is wanting. They don't know everything that they need to know. And so Paul's desire is to add to what they already understand. They don't understand everything there is to know about the gospel. They don't grasp everything there is to grasp about the person and work of Jesus Christ. They don't know everything that will prepare them to live the Christian life. And so he sees himself as God's instrument, as it were, to help the people of God grow in their faith.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us at 1-864-244-2408. That's 1-864-244-2408. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there's a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.